Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 23 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Well, we've got a really hot topic today. It's maternal death prevalence, and risk. A lot of stuff you need to know, and we have a fabulous expert, Dr. Jennifer Haith, with us. But before we start, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after this episode to rate this podcast and please review us. Yeah, we read these things and we love to hear your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Now, on this episode, we will be talking about what's going on with the rise in maternal death prevalence and risk, especially in the United States. And with us to discuss this is Dr. Jennifer Haith, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at Columbia University Medical Center, Co-Director for the Women's Center for Cardiovascular Health, Director of the Adult Pulmonary Hypertension Center, and Director of Cardiac Obstetric Service. I'm exhausted just saying this. I don't know, Jennifer. I think you need to get a life or something. Good Lord, you're doing a lot of work here. This is something else. And, you know, I want to give you a little bit of background information on this very important topic. You know, more U.S. women are dying from pregnancy or childbirth complications today than in recent history. Wow, this is causing alarms stateside as maternal mortality drops worldwide. What's going on with all of this? And we've got a lot of issues here. More American women are obese. Access to medical care is inconsistent. There's racial disparities, rise in C-sections. Women are having children later. Oh, gosh, it just goes on and on. So, Dr. Haith, welcome to Her. Wow, we want to hear about all this. And we so thank you for being on the Her podcast to share your wisdom with us. So what's the reasoning behind this maternal death rate?
Hi, well, thanks for having me. So, you know, there's a lot of different theories about, you know, is the maternal death rate actually higher? Is it that we are recording maternal deaths more accurately? Or are we including more women in the maternal death calculation? So first, you have to realize that the CDC defines how they define a pregnancy-related death. And really, that means that any woman who dies while pregnant or within 1 year of pregnancy termination. So that's regardless of the duration or site of the pregnancy. As long as it wasn't an accident or some other medical problem that led to her death, if you die within a year of being pregnant of any kind, even if you had a termination of pregnancy or an ectopic pregnancy, that's considered a maternal death. So there's a lot of women included in this pool of potential, you know, pregnant women.
So what else is going on? I mean, I mentioned a couple factors here. You know, this whole thing with, you know, women are in, you think they're in rough shape here with obesity and the metabolic syndrome and,
yes.
You know, like what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that for sure we know that, you know, about 15% of pregnancies occur in women over the age of 35. And that number has continued to increase as fertility options increase and as women decide to push their date of pregnancy back. You know, a lot of women aren't getting pregnant and having a baby when they're 20. They're doing it when they're in their 30s and 40s and even 50s. And so what we know is that 30% of that 15% accounts for the maternal death rate. So it's a higher proportion of the older women who are counted in the maternal death rate. And we do think that it's multifactorial, that obesity, the metabolic syndrome, increases patients' risks from all different parts of pregnancy. During the pregnancy, risks of high blood pressure, diabetes, these things all increase in women who are older and pregnant. So those can increase your risk of death. More C-sections. I mean, I think a lot of women think that a C-section sounds great because they don't have to go through labor, their vagina remains intact, but really it's major abdominal surgery. And any woman who has a major abdominal surgery is at risk for the complications from that, which include infection, bleeding, things like that. But cardiovascular disease is probably the biggest issue that we think is affecting these mothers. So hypertension, diabetes.
What do you mean by that?
So included in that is hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, preeclampsia, eclampsia, women who develop peripartum cardiomyopathy or heart failure during their pregnancy, which we know has an increased risk in older women, African-American women, women who have a hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. And all of this happens more when you're older.
Interesting. You know, when you said African-American women, fascinating. Black women in the United States are up to 3 times more likely to die in pregnancy and childbirth compared to white women. And, you know, while they're not significantly more likely to develop conditions like hemorrhage and preeclampsia, maybe, who knows, which threaten a woman's life, they're more likely to die from them. What's up with that?
Well, it's horrible. That's a terrible statistic. And what we can assume is that it has to do with access to care and the care that they're getting. The healthiest pregnancy starts even before you get pregnant. So are these women getting good prenatal care? Are they getting examined well by a physician before they even decide to get pregnant? Are they addressing other medical problems prior to getting pregnant? And then throughout the pregnancy, a healthy pregnancy means seeing your physician every month, you know, even more frequently sometimes. And if they're not getting that access, then they present too late in the disease process, and then things can happen, resulting in death.
So the access, you know, that whole issue of access is a huge issue here. I read a statistic. I said it between 2000 to 2015, Texas as a state, just as an example, saw a spike in maternal mortality, while the state also underwent changes to reproductive health services, including the closure of several clinics offering, you know, many services to these women. In 2011, the state's family planning budget was cut by 2/3. And so it goes on, and that's
example. And those things have clear consequences, as you can see by, you know, this spike in maternal-related death. And also, if we look at developing countries or countries in South America where there's religious, obstruction to getting termination of pregnancy, those women who do try to terminate a pregnancy and have to seek, you know, either illegal or, you know, outside of traditional normal practice termination, those women are at increased risk of death from abortion. And that's included in this maternal death rate. So I don't know that the statistics have teased out, are these women dying because of, you know, botched abortion in states where they can't get abortions, or, you know, what exactly is the higher cause? I don't think that they have a good understanding of that yet. But when you look and see that that's the case, that they're closing clinics, that they're closing access to care, that they're, you know, limiting women from getting birth control and things that they need, and the maternal death rate increases, that doesn't seem like a surprise.
Wow. It's just, ow, you know?
Right.
And I want to go back to that. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the other thing that's important is that, you know, education. Do women know when something's wrong? Have they been advised how to know if they're having a problem after the delivery of the pregnancy and they're home? Are they hemorrhaging? Are they bleeding too much? Do they have sharp pain that they're not responding to? Do they have a fever and they don't seek medical attention? You know, these things that cause delay in medical attention, they may have been preventable deaths in those cases. A blood clot that goes to the lungs, they feel short of breath, they don't tell anyone. You know, so many times here in New York City, I see women show up a month after they've had a baby with swelling in their legs. They're short of breath. They'll get sent home at times from the emergency room and told, oh, you're having an asthma attack or you're fine. But they're not fine. You know, they have something wrong. They have heart failure. They have a PE. So education of not only the women themselves, but the healthcare, you know, the healthcare services that are serving them need to understand how pregnant women can get really sick.
Wow. You know, I wonder whether or not this very significant increase in the amount of addiction with women is
right.
also being reflected in this. And, you know, there's nary a day that goes by without another headline saying, you know, the heroin epidemic, the opioid epidemic, et cetera, et cetera. And we've covered this on the HER podcast a number of times. And I wonder if there are collecting statistics on this as well, because, you know as well as I do that this has got to have a significant morbidity, mortality hit with women.
Well, you know, the you know, opiate addiction in this country is very disturbing, and I'm glad to hear that you're talking about it a lot on your show. And there is, it does seem like every day there's a new horrible video or photograph or story about it, which, you know, I guess in some ways is good if people are bringing attention to it. But we do know that, you know, women who are using drugs are less likely to be taking care of their health, right? And they're less likely to be practicing safe sexual practices. So they're more maybe likely to get pregnant. And a pregnant woman is at increased risk of death compared to a non-pregnant woman. Pregnancy itself puts you at risk. And so just the fact that they may be getting no prenatal care, maybe pregnant, not even know they're pregnant, you know, you're right. That could be factoring into, you know, poor maternal outcomes.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to C-sections for a second. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some really interesting numbers. The rates of C-section deliveries among American women rose 53% from 1996 to 2007, mm-hmm. now accounting for 32% of births. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no question C-section has a place in life, and it saved the lives of mothers and babies. No question about that. But the C-section has its complications, and you said this so beautifully. And they increase the risk of maternal death.
That is really important. I mean, I think you're right that there are reasons to do a C-section that also have to do with increasing maternal age, which is, you know, women who are using fertility treatments to get pregnant ending up with twins or triplets, and which, you know, in many instances require a C-section delivery. Not always, but sometimes do. And so, you know, that certainly could increase the risk. And also, you know, we live in a very litigious society. And what's happened is, you know, the desire to protect the health of the baby and not go through what may seem like a tricky labor at times has led to, you know, anesthesiologists and OBGYNs protecting themselves medical legally and, you know, defaulting to a C-section more quickly than they normally would. Which,
do you think that that's one of the main reasons why that 53% uptick to really?
Yeah, I don't think it's only. I don't think you can account for such a huge increase just based on, you know, IVF and fertility. I mean, you know, older women may not go through labor as easily as younger women, which may, you know, contribute. But I don't think you can account for that full huge increase. And I think that, you know, a breached baby clearly needs to be delivered by C-section, or a, you know, a baby who has a cord around its neck and decompensates during the birth, or, you know, triplets, things like that. But when you see this huge rise in, you know, C-section rates for, you know, regular women of normal childbearing age, that's, you know, I think there's a sign that it's a cultural, it's becoming a practice in society, and that really needs to be examined by the, you know, OBGYN powers that be, ACOG and places like that, because it's definitely better for a woman to have a vaginal delivery. And I can't tell you how many of my patients that I see for high risk, you know, cardiac problems will say, well, do I get to have a C-section? And I have to tell them, you don't want a C-section. A C-section actually is a much harder recovery. It's much harder. It's not as natural. It's harder on the baby in many ways. There's a lot more anesthesia involved. And actually, for the heart, for all cardiac purposes, there's only very rare instances where we would really recommend a C-section for a cardiac problem. Most cardiac problems do better with a vaginal delivery because it's much more natural in terms of the hemodynamic changes we see. The blood pressure, the heart rate are much more well-regulated during a vaginal delivery than during a C-section.
Well, now what I'm going to do is segueing off those brilliant thoughts that you just had. I'm now going to, you know, add my little, you know, advocacy for the child. So during a vaginal delivery, hello, vaginal delivery, you know, whenever you can, please. What you're actually doing there is as the child is coming down the vaginal canal, you're coating that child with your own germs. These germs are helpful bacteria. They're part of the total body microbiome, which is a collection of trillions of bacteria that are extremely healthy that gift you with all kinds of wonderful things, including more power to your immune system, let alone what happens with your GI system. And when you don't have that and you have to have a C-section, And you know, one of the things I've noticed, and maybe you have up there, Columbia, is that a lot of OBGYNs who have to do a C-section actually gather the vaginal secretions and coat the child with it. So that they do have a chance to be able to have the same experience as a child going through a natural delivery. Very important to understand right. There was a reason why we have a vaginal canal.
Right, and the other very important reason for the birthing process that way has to do with the baby's lungs. And, you know,
yes.
A baby is floating around in amniotic fluid, and when a baby is born, they have to take their first breath. And when you go through the birthing canal naturally, a lot of that excess fluid is literally physically pushed out of the baby's lungs, whereas when a baby is born through C-section, that baby is, like, pulled right out of, you know, the uterus. So there's no process of compression or, you know, normal compression that should happen during birth.
Yeah, and I think that that's extremely important that people understand, again,
right. There
are a whole laundry list of reasons why a vaginal delivery is the way to go.
And I'm certainly not criticizing, obviously, if there are women who find themselves facing a C-section because they have to for medical purposes, like the baby is breech or there's some crisis, like, that's okay. You know, it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. But don't choose it because you think it's somehow not as painful or easier, because that is a real misconception that's been perpetuated very erroneously by people in society, that somehow it's easier on your body or better for you how it looks down there. I mean, that is ridiculous, you know?
I know. I'm totally there with you, because you got to remember, this is a twofer. You're doing this for your child and you're doing it for your own optimal health. So come
exactly.
on, you know, let's
exactly.
just pay the piper on this one. You know, there's nothing like Mother Nature here. So you brought up this whole issue of the high risk pregnancy. So what are some ways mothers can stay calm and get peace of mind if they have that high risk pregnancy thing happening?
Right. Well, you know, I think that the medical, you know, good medical centers that provide, you know, multidisciplinary care in a high-risk pregnancy, they do a really good job. You know, I think that women who have been told that they're facing a high-risk pregnancy, the best way to reassure yourself is find a good doctor and a good team, because most of the time, really, truly most of the time, I mean, even if the maternal death rate is increasing, it's still very low. You know, your chances of having everything go well is actually high. So you just need to stay calm and find a really good team that you trust and follow their recommendations, get good follow-up, do what they tell you to do, you know, take good care of yourself, eat well. You know, make sure your blood pressure is under control. Go get some exercise if your doctor says that's okay. Walk around. You know, just be aware. And because taking care of yourself, you know, that's true for all of life and all problems that we face later in life and medical problems. You know, people are very quick to not take care of themselves. So if you take care of yourself, you see a nice doctor that you like, that you see, you feel confident in the team, people really should feel reassured that it's going to be okay.
I love that. And, you know, I wish everyone out there could have you as a doctor, for crying out loud. Well, they kind of sort of can.
Hopefully they don't have any
now. No,
yeah,
but
I mean,
you want to know
cardiology,
something?
Even with cardiology, I tell my patients there are very few cardiology issues that can't be dealt with pretty safely and easily. You know, even there was just a report that came out that even women who have, you know, moderate to severe aortic stenosis, you know, which, you know, bicuspid aortic valves are one of the most common congenital heart abnormalities, and most people live a full life without having a problem, and many need an aortic valve surgery at some point, and some women don't even know they had it until they're pregnant. But even with that, the results were there were no maternal or fetal mortality at all in the studies that they looked at with women with that kind of, you know, heart disease and valve disease. So, you know, you can get good care and be really well taken care of. And I always just try to reassure people that.
I love that. And, you know, everyone out there in her podcast land, you can follow Dr. Jennifer Haith's wonderful work. Just go ahead and bother her on Twitter. And you can grab her at Dr. That's Dr. Jen, J-E-N-N, two N's, right? Haythe, and that's H-A-Y-T-H-E, Dr. So that's at Dr. Jen Haythe. And ask her questions. If you've got some issues, follow her on Twitter, because she's always putting out really great stuff to be able to help you, for crying out loud. This is a really, really, really important issue. Crying out loud, I'm saying it again. Because it really is. You know, so many women don't think about that. And I think you need to have a heads up here. Girlfriends, if you're going to get pregnant, do the best you can to stay healthy. A healthy mom is one who can do the whole natural, you know, childbirthing through the vaginal canal and really have a great outcome for both you as mom as well as the child. You know, remember, it's always a twofer. And that for women who have really tough time with access, work it. There's got to be something out there. Do the homework. Find a better access. Find a team that really is going to work for you, just as Dr. Haythe had really stressed and emphasized. And, you know, when offered the opportunity of a C-section, when you have a completely normal childbirth, forget it. Go vaginal. And for those women who do have high risk, it's going to be okay, just like Dr. Jennifer Haythe said. Just make sure you've got that great A-team, you know, supporting you. Got your back on that one. So important. Any final words?
I was going to say, you know, and if you're an older woman having a baby, that's okay, and that's great, and I'm sure either if it happens naturally or through fertility, but know that just the fact that you're older does put you at higher risk, and you really should pay special attention to that and not, you know, think you're 20. I mean, you can think you're 20 in your mind, that's great, but don't treat your body like it's 20. Remember that you're 35 or you're 40 or you're 43, and that's different than being 18.
Well, you want to know something? This is a reality check all the way around. We've gone through a long list of issues that have come up to help us understand what's going on in the United States with this increase in maternal death and risk. What's going on with all this? And you, as women, remember, this is the naked truth about women. You, as women, need to know this. Wake up. And then once you've heard this, learn the lesson, plan ahead, you know, take optimal care of yourself. And if you know, make sure you get that A team, no matter what, do the work. Because you want to know something? The return on investment is a wonderful outcome, like that gorgeous, healthy baby and a gorgeous, healthy mom, too. Mm-hmm.
And pay special attention to how you feel after. Because remember that this maternal death rate is counting things that happen up to a year after delivery. So if you're not feeling well, you know, even if it's 3 or 4 or 5 months later, could it still be related to that? It's possible. You know, you need to go get some medical attention.
I think that is one of the most, that's golden. So remember, it's not just 5 seconds after you deliver. It could be up to a year later. Watch out. You need that A team. Listen up, educate, watch for your body signs. And if you've got a question, for heaven's sake, don't keep it to yourself. There are no stupid questions. All questions are important. Get them answered. We've been talking to Dr. Jennifer Haythe. Dr. Haythe, thanks so much for being on the Herb Podcast. Your wit and wisdom and your knowledge and expertise has really helped all of us in Herb Podcast land understand everything we need to know here about maternal death prevalence and risk. Thank you so much for being on Herb. Now that we're so enlightened, remember to catch every episode, not just this one. Just hit subscribe on iTunes and on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, leave a review as well. Why? Well, heck, we read them. And we love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. please follow me on Twitter at PamPeakMD. And you could also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com, and all of our past episodes are listed right there. So listen on up and enjoy. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.